Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow, line dance songs.
Hey, Sangai Nation, welcome to the program. QT and Sangai with you here again on a Friday as we wrap up Zane Month. Real quick, before we get started, if you're looking for some wrestling in the next couple days, tonight, WCWO running as usual at the Outlaw Arena, 1151 South Kentucky Avenue in Indianapolis. NWA Supreme in Madison, Indiana. MEW tonight in Memphis, Tennessee. And ACW featuring Casey Carlisle, whom I love, in Millersville, Maryland. Tomorrow night, 1CW in Milford, Delaware, also featuring Casey Carlisle, whom I love. NWA Supreme in Hanover, Indiana, for their annual high school show. GRPW in Alameda, California. NWA in San Antonio, Texas. IRW in Oklahoma. Pro Wrestling King in Lakeville, Indiana. ECPW in Ronkonkoma, New York. AML in High Point, North Carolina. PWS in Bristol, Tennessee. CPW in Lewiston, Pennsylvania. And New Wave Pro in Terre Haute, Indiana, featuring our very own Cameron Starr. Without further ado, I would like to welcome our fourth and final Zane of this month, Zane Paisley. Welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you so much for having me on.
Now, right off the bat, I understand you are headed this evening to an Indiana Fever game. Am I correct?
I am. I'm taking my family to the Fever game. I am a little disappointed because I saw the flyer for that WCWO show tonight. It looks amazing. A bunch of great steel cage matches, I believe. So, we'd already had plans to go to the Fever game tonight.
If the Fever were to forfeit the game, there's still time to make it down to the Outlaw Arena.
That is true. That's not too far away.
It is not. And if I wouldn't have lost some matches there, I would be undefeated at the Outlaw Arena.
I'm undefeated at the Outlaw Arena in that I've never had a match there or anywhere. So I got that going for me.
Well, I guess technically you are undefeated. I am undefeated against Sean. I can't say. I'm undefeated in one-on-one action against Sean Kemp at the Outlaw Arena.
Very nice.
Now, I've been told, we have confirmation, you are allowing a contest to determine how you get to this game. Is that correct?
Yes, I will. I will participate in this contest.
All right. Now, if anyone's listening, get us on Twitter or the Facebook or email or Telegram, however you need to get your submission in. My official submission for how you get to the game tonight, Uber car. QT, do you have a submission?
Yes, I do. I think Zane should hijack a trolley car and name it Streetcar Named Desire, and he can have Rex Sharp on the streetcar on his way to the Beaver game doing Arlo Guthrie covers like If I Had a Hammer and Not This Chinese Drywall.
That's an excellent submission. So we have two great choices already. I'm sure your family is waiting with bated breath on how they get to the game tonight.
Yes, that is. It'll be a big, uh, big contest here in the Paisley household.
Speaking of your family, your son is the heavyweight champion of hot dog eating in the Paisley Hot Dog Federation. Has he been defending the title?
He has not had any equitable challengers to his reign yet. So he's still the champion, and he has chosen not to compete for a little while until he gets a worthy opponent.
Now, if they're free, QT can put away some hot dogs. Would the hot dogs be complimentary to the contestant, or would said contestant have to purchase his own hot dogs?
Well, for the first contest, my wife purchased the hot dogs, so I would say that they were free to the contestants.
Then I foresee a challenge of QT Vokes in his future, because if it's free,
okay,
he will drive thousands of miles to make it there.
Okay, we might have to set that contest up.
We can all look forward to that.
Absolutely we can. Now, Zane, you've been doing some ring announcing the last few months. You've started up there in Marion for ICW. You've branched out. How's the ring announcing going for you?
It is a tremendous amount of fun. I've done it for Intense Championship Wrestling in Marion, Indiana, and our next show is next weekend, the 4th, Saturday the 4th, and Juventud Guerrero is going to be trying to dethrone Troy Miller for the ICW Championship. And I believe that the artist known as Chad Engel will be trying to regain the United States Championship back from June Hotto. And I'm not sure if Cameron Starr is booked, but she is the ladies lucha champion there. So it's a lot of fun. I've done it several times for ICW, and then last weekend I went to Freetown, Indiana, the bustling metropolis that is Freetown, Indiana, and announced for Exodus Pro Wrestling in their premier event, their inaugural event. And it was a lot of fun, and I believe that we're going to be back in Freetown in October. I believe it's October 17th in Freetown.
I believe QT at this very second is thinking, if the whole town's free, let's have the hot dog competition there.
Well, I did purchase a sandwich there, and I was shocked I had to pay for the sandwich. So I'm not sure exactly how they get their moniker of Freetown, but it was not gratis.
That's very disheartening. Now, was this at the concession stand?
No, this was at the little convenience store. The only place in Freetown that I could find any food, so they made a sandwich there at the convenience store. But they did not have any hot food. I'm sure that if I really would have asked, the person that working there probably could have taken it to their house and microwaved it. But I did not see any restaurants in Freetown, just the convenience store.
That's more than I thought they would have, to be fair.
Yes, I believe in the concession stand we had sodas for sale and candy bars. I don't know if there were any hot dogs there for sale or not. I didn't see anybody being given a hot dog for free, so.
So much for the payoffs there, huh?
Yes.
And the course of your ring announcing career to date, who would you say has been the most difficult person that you have to announce?
That's a tough one because, you know, for everybody that I announce, I'm not nervous being in front of people. That's not a problem at all. It's that I'm afraid that I'm going to disrespect one of the workers there by saying their hometown incorrectly or something like that. I did have a gentleman that wanted me to introduce him as 278.1 4 pounds this last time for Exodus Pro Wrestling. So that 0.4 really threw me off a little bit, but that's what he wanted. And I would say the twist was that Exodus Pro Wrestling this past weekend, there was a big six-way match for the Fighting Spirit Pro High Stakes Championship that was being defended by Adam Buehler. And it was Dale Patrick, Ace Perry, Vinny Balzano, King Crush, and Adam Buehler in that match. And we were having issues where I couldn't talk into the mic over the music, so we had to bring everybody out there. And then I had to introduce all six men right in a row, and that was a little tough because, you know, normally when you're announcing someone, you've got a little break in between where the next competitor is walking to the ring. But this, I had six competitors, all with hometowns, all with weights, right in a row. So that was probably my most difficult match so far.
It was established on one of your very favorite television programs, Total Divas, that the ring announcers there have to memorize every person's name, hometown, and weight, and be ready to announce it 24 hours a day with no note cards or writing on themselves. Do you think that's a fair assessment for independent wrestling announcers to have to follow as well?
Well, with independent wrestling, you can probably get away with a little bit more because nobody knows if Dale Patrick's hometown is actually Indianapolis, Indiana, or if you could say it's Lake Cucamonga. But when you announce Randy Orton as being from Los Angeles, everybody knows he's from St. Louis. So, you know, you can't as much as you probably could in independent wrestling. I'm really green to the business, so I use my note cards. I have seen some announcers use an iPad. But I prefer the old school note cards. Plus, I can make notes on it during the match and then post results later on. So I prefer the note cards.
If I wouldn't have lost to Dale Patrick's at the Outlaw Arena, I would have been undefeated against him as well.
I like him.
I cannot confirm that he is from Indianapolis either. I cannot confirm or deny that, but it sounds correct.
That's what he wanted me to announce him as being from. So I'm not sure, but you know, I wish people would just go by, you know, like the Razor Ramones. They go by parts unknown, Indiana. That's easy for me to remember. I can do that all day long.
Isn't that up in the southwestern part of the state near Evansville?
I'm not sure.
All right, we'll research that for later. Everyone knows that Zane Paisley is a huge fan of former California Angels pitcher Jim Abbott, one of the most underrated pitchers of all time. If you had to pick an all-star softball team to field using Indiana-based independent wrestlers, whom would be on your team by position?
Oh, okay. Catcher. We're gonna go with Congo Kong because he'd be able to block that ball so it didn't get past. He's a massive gentleman. So let's go with him for catcher. First base, I'm gonna go with Drew Skills because he's got the skills. Second base, we'll go Troy Miller. Even though he's got bad knees, he can still move around quite a bit. So let's go with him. Shortstop. Let's go with Chad Engel. We can have two members of the franchise club out there at short and second. Third base, we're going to go with Cameron Starr. I think that she'd be she can whip it over to first base pretty quickly. Right field. Now, in softball, do we have four outfielders?
Depending on your league, but we'll go with the standard three setup.
Okay, all right. Right field, because of his batting, we're going to put in Joey Kid Owens there. Center field, we're going to put in Jonathan Wolf because he can really run and cover most of the outfield pretty quickly since he's so young and his knees aren't as bad. And then at left field, let's put in Celine Gray. So that way we've got both women over on that side of the field to be able to cover that. Even though she's from Chicago, I've seen her a lot in Indiana.
She does like to get around.
Yep. Yes.
That sounds like a pretty fair team. Who would manage this team?
Even though he's from Louisville, I like this guy a lot. And once again, he gets around in Indiana a lot. Let's going to go ahead and have Jason Saint be the manager. He's ruthless out there, and that's what we need if we're going to win.
And he has managerial experience.
Yes, very much so.
You talked about some of the... Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, we would have... I would have first base coach be Terry Funk, because he's from Hammond, Indiana, originally. And then third base coach, we would need Mick Foley out there. He's from Bloomington, and you know, he can encourage our team to victory, hopefully.
He actually established in his first autobiography he is not from Bloomington.
Where is he from?
He is from New York. Bloomington is an urban legend.
Okay. When he did the concert there, he said it was his hometown.
I believe he was probably playing upon the urban legend. But if you read his first autobiography, Have a Nice Day, Tale of Blood and Sweat Socks, he makes it clear that when he started the ring announcer asked where he was from, and he said Bloomington, Indiana, because that was the first town he thought of, and they changed it to Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, but he was never from either town. He was born and raised in Uptown New York.
I would double-check that, because I believe on one of the DVDs he even says that he's from there because his dad was working there for a bit.
We'll have to check that out, but...
Let's review that, and I'll get back with you.
All right, well, maybe we could track down Mick Foley and ask him point-blank, because he's not that fast. He can't run from us.
No, that's why he's not playing out in the field. But he is the third base coach.
At the 0-1 All-Star game in Seattle, Tommy Lasorda almost died at third base when a bat broke and flew right towards him. No fear of that happening to Mick Foley?
I believe that they have to wear helmets now, so I would think that he'd be okay. But he's certainly not going to be able to move in time but he can take the bump.
All right, I'm just going to point out that a helmet wouldn't help much if a bat impaled your chest.
That's true. That is true.
And we talked a little bit about some of the young guys that you've seen, Lone Wolf Jonathan Owens, whom if I hadn't lost to, I'd be undefeated against at Outlaw Arena, and Ace Perry, as well as Dale Patricks. Who are some of the best young talents that you've seen on shows where you've ring announced?
All six of those guys in that match really put it on the line there. I know that Vinny Valvano is newer to the business. He's only been around for a couple of years, but he's really hustling and trying to make a name for himself. Jun Hato is the ICW U.S. champion right now, and he's really great. He's got a great gimmick and with face paint. And I also like Eli McFly a lot. I believe he's based out of Ohio, but he comes to Indiana quite a bit. I've seen him at Heroes and Legends where he took on Marty Jannetty. That was not this past one, but the year before. He's a great up-and-comer, and hopefully he'll be able to make a name for himself in the business.
Absolutely. You referenced the post-match meal that you had in Freetown, and it didn't seem to be your ideal post-match meal. What would your ideal post-match meal be if you could have anything after a show?
I don't eat beef or pork, so that limits my options quite a bit. But I like a nice teriyaki chicken meal. That's pretty good. Or the old standard Waffle House and with the waffle and the side of potatoes. That sounds pretty good right now.
Would there be a cup of coffee involved in that?
Yeah, because I'm usually the driver, so I would have to have a cup of coffee there with that meal.
That sounds like a pretty typical post-wrestling match meal, actually.
Yeah, it's a classic for a reason. It's good stuff.
Exactly, and they're open late.
Yes.
Well, we've come to the point of the show where we have a game we like to call Word Association. I'll throw out the names of some people that you've come across, and the first word or two that pops into your head to describe them, that is your answer. Are you ready for a round?
Yes, I am.
All right, the first one, Abyss.
Gentleman.
R.D. Reynolds.
Crap.
Roddy Piper.
I'm heartbroken.
Cameron Starr.
Tough.
Troy Miller.
Franchise.
Apollo Starr.
Underrated.
JKO.
Chairman. Legend.
Vinny Balzano.
Up and comer.
Troy Van Zant.
I'm not really that familiar with him. I've only seen him work one time, but tough guy.
Selena Gray.
Athletic.
Hank Calhoun.
Elite.
And the last one, Jason Maples.
Smart guy.
All right. Now, one of the things that you are exposed to being a ring announcer is everyone's entrance music. Pretty much everyone has entrance music in this day and age. What's been the oddest choice for entrance music that you've heard thus far?
The ICW Tag Team Champions, Simply Irresistible, they do that Uptown Funk song, which I thought it was weird at first because I didn't know they were saying funk, F-U-N-K. I thought they were saying something else. So I thought that wasn't family appropriate for that, but then I figured it out. So and then something was really weird for Exodus Pro Wrestling. The DJ, and I don't know if he knew this was Grado's song or not, but during the warm-ups, he kept playing Like a Prayer over and over again. It was really weird. Like, he played it literally 15 times in a row.
That is an interesting choice. All right, well, with that, QT has been patiently standing by, so I'm going to give you over to QT and does help you as he takes control for a while.
Well, thank you, Sign Guy.
Yes, thank you, Sign Guy. Hello, Zane.
Hello, how are you, QT?
Oh, I'm doing fine, Now, Zane, word association has long been a staple of turnbuckle turmoil. In fact, you just went through that. In fact, I believe that CNN has been listening to our broadcasts, and they recently did a word association of Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton that I believe is an infringement on our turnbuckle turmoil word association copyright. And as such,
oh my.
I will probably ask Dimitri and Sign Guy after the show if they want to pursue legal action. Now, I've always, I've always said that Donald Trump and Roddy Piper were very similar in character. Would you like to know the five word associations that CNN recently had on Donald Trump? Okay, they said that Donald Trump was bombastic, number one, arrogant, number two, three was strident, and that does not mean the gum, strident. Four was limited potential for porn star. They really said that, yes. And five was clear and concise on political solutions. Well, I think the above also applies to Roddy Piper. Would you agree?
Sure.
Oh, okay. Well, here are the five word associations on Hillary Clinton, and they are pretty much the polar opposite of Roddy Piper. Number one is Benghazi hamburger. Hamburger. Yeah. It's true. That's what they said. It was on CNN. Yes. Number two, dishonest as a Scottish haggis and cold cut salesman. That was really on there.
Hmm.
I want to ask you at this time if you know what haggis is.
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay.
They serve it at McNiven's in Indianapolis, but it would not be one of my post-match meals.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'd like to inform Sign Guy that haggis was a topic that came on the movie So I Married an Axe Murderer, and it's ground-up sheep stomach lining and sheep's tongue and liver, and they grind the sheep's tongue and liver, they mix it together and put it in the sheep's stomach lining and bake it. Yes. Okay. Well, that was number two on Hillary's word association on CNN, dishonest as a Scottish haggis and cold cut salesman. Number three, the Edsel of Ford politics. Now, Zane, this could be a good thing because Edsels are very prized at car shows, and Eddie Guerrero once drove an Edsel down to the ring before his match. That's what I'm trying to make.
Very nice.
Yeah. Okay. Well, number four, word association with Hillary Clinton, geriatric jet setter.
What was the second word? Geriatric what?
Geriatric jet setter.
Oh, very nice.
Yes.
I would say that would have applied to Roddy Piper.
Yes. Yeah, may you rest in peace. Yes. Geriatric jet setter. Okay. And number five, silver-haired political dominatrix inspired by Mae Young. That was, one of the word associations.
That was on CNN?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Oh, okay.
Well, it sounds like you agree with most of this word association with Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump.
Donald Trump, I don't think, would make a very good president. I'm not so sure about Hillary, but I know that she would do a lot better job than the Trumpster. But Hillary Clinton's not in the WWE Hall of Fame, and Donald Trump is. So I'm not real sure.
Oh, all right. Well, now, Zane, I have always maintained on Turnbuckle Turmoil that music and wrestling have a symbiotic relationship. I was going to ask another wrestler in another interview this question about the song Black Sabbath, but I need to read you a little history lesson about the song Black Sabbath, and then I will get into precise questions. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. All right. The song Black Sabbath is an example wherein Black Sabbath approached the blue note from the standard pentatonic blues scale and developed a heavy metal riff. The main riff is constructed with a harmonic progression included a diminished fifth / augmented fourth. This particular interval is often known as Diablos in Musica, for it has musical qualities, which are often used to suggest satanic connotations in Western music. The song Black Sabbath was one of the earliest examples in heavy metal to make use of this integral, and since then, And since then, the genre has made extensive use of Diablos in Musica. The riff was created when bassist Geezy Butler began playing a fragment of Mars from Gustav Holst's The Planet's Suite. Inspired guitarist Tony Iommi returned the next day with a famously dark tritone. My question is, do you think the Razor Ramones will have people running from a show in Paris, France, when they play Listen to Bret Hart, just like Sabbath did when they tried to conjure up Old Nick himself in Paris in 1970? Yes.
I'm not sure. I would see them maybe doing that in Paris, Illinois. That might be a little more feasible than Paris, France right now. But, I could see them going to Paris and maybe Alomar turning into an American Werewolf in Paris, too. So, you know, it's the wide field of things that could happen out there.
I see. Are you implying that Alomar would start wearing a beret and eating croissants?
No, I'm saying that I'm pretty sure that he's part Lobo, so, you know, he might turn into a werewolf.
Oh, okay. All right, very good. All right. Well, we could all look forward to that. Yes.
Yes.
Well, if Sean Critney uses a violin bow on his Dayglo 1975 Fender Stratocaster, just like Jimmy Page did in the Yardbirds on the song Dazed and Confused in 1968, will this make Dave the Beast Barnett inspired enough to play heavy metal tuba? That's what I'm asking. Yes.
I'm not sure. As far as I know, Dave the Beast Barnett is just the official, so he's got to remain impartial. But you never know. He might do a tuba turn and yeah. Actually, at my wedding, we had a honky tonk band play, and they were called the Tumbleweeds. And they did not have a bassist; they had a tuba player instead. And so it was a honky tonk tuba player, and he was excellent.
Wow! Is there and the band was called Tumbleweeds?
The Tumbleweeds, yes. But if you look them up, they've changed their name. Now they're called the Wide Jet Rose, after the members' last names.
Wow, all right. Gee, I know that there was a comic strip back in the 60s and early 70s called Tumbleweeds, and it was about a cowboy and his swayback army horse.
I don't know if there was any connection.
Your homework assignment is to look up and do a Google search on the comic strip Tumbleweeds.
Okay.
Cool. Oh, okay. All right, well, Zane, I'm very excited because yesterday I picked up a WWE Legend Tribute magazine to Roddy Piper. And I'd like to read you a good passage in this book, magazine, on page 81. Are you ready for this? This is very enriching.
I am.
Oh, okay. Now it says, as some people know, you and Ric Flair have been running buddies for most of your careers. Share your best Ric Flair story, if you please. And the Hot Rod responded, Flair was NWA world champ, and he had to go to Santo Domingo, which was a city under martial law at the time. So he knows it's kind of a tough gig, but he doesn't really explain that to me. During Rick's match, this kid starts heckling Flair. Rick starts in on him as only Rick can. He looks at me and says, pull his leg. So I did. And this little kid gets up and starts crying, screaming. The army security guards who had taken us to the ring started patting their sidearms. Suddenly the crowd turns on me and we have a full-scale riot. The first thing you do in a riot, if you can, is grab a chair. Not to hit anybody with, just to get it over your head. We fought our way back to the dressing room, only to find that all our stuff had been stolen. We're huddling in a corner, and people are throwing these big chunks of crying concrete through the windows. I say, Rick, why the hell did you tell me to do that? And Rick goes, hey, Pipes, what do you want for dinner? Finally, they had to get an ambulance to take us out of there to make it look like some of their own people had got hurt. It took us straight to the plane, and we were on our way home.
That's a heck of a story. Yeah.
Yes. My only hope is that as a ring announcer, Troy Miller doesn't suggest something to you inflammatory, and you say that to the crowd, and you and Troy Miller have to huddle in like a locker room when chunks of concrete are being thrown at you. That's my point. Yes.
I hope not either. I'm as a ring announcer though, I'm very right down the middle. I don't try to say too many inflammatory things to the crowd. I want them to go and at the intermission, I want them to go buy their hot dogs, and then after intermission, usually with two matches left to go, they'll put the hot dogs on sale for half off. So I get to announce those sort of things. I don't want to make them mad at all.
Wow, half off hot dogs. QT Volks might want to travel to Indiana and challenge your son to a half off hot dog eating contest.
Oh, that would be a good idea.
Tell your son I'm gunning for him.
Okay, I will.
Oh, all right. All right, and here's another passage in this magazine, Roddy Piper, 1954 to 2015, that I think you'll like. And before I say this, did you know that Troy Miller was inducted into the Turnbuckle Turmoil Hall of Fame class of 2015?
I was aware of that. It's a very prestigious honor. He's also been inducted into the EWF Hall of Fame, I believe, and there might have been one other thing too. So he's an honorable man.
Oh, okay, that's good to know. Yes, he is honorable. Yes. Okay. All right. Well, the second passage in this book, let's talk about Mr. T. Do you, in fact, pity the fool? And Roddy replies, yeah, we didn't get along at all. I guess it was my fault. We had a press conference at Rockefeller Center for the first WrestleMania. At one point, I squeezed Mr. T's head and said, I don't know, it's pretty soft. I didn't know you weren't supposed to touch Mr. T. The guy's got such an ego. I pity the fool. I'm the toughest guy in the world. Take it easy, man. That door you went through on TV was made of balsa wood, okay? It's called actor tough. Some actors, they've done so many fights on screen that they start to believe they can fight. He's coming from the A-team, and he wants to come into our industry, beat the top guys right away, then go back to the A-team and tell them how tough he is. So we got off to a bad start. It was really weird. There was this whole other side to him, a feminine side. He would giggle like a little girl. Once we were in the Palm, this restaurant in L.A., and Mr. T orders a mimosa, pours it into this gold goblet with jewels on it that he brought with him. What a dumb son of a bleep.
That's the article.
we're lucky that Rex Razor Sharp wasn't near that, because he might have had that mimosa thrown at him.
Yes, I know. Now, mimosas, according to Sign Guy and myself, have been a recent topic that has been brought up in discussions. Do you know the hottest nightclubs in the Shelbyville area for mimosas yourself?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, okay. Well, how about at the Indianapolis airport? Do they serve mimosas?
I'm sure that they do. There are quite a few little bars there. Probably a Cafe Patachou in the airport, they would probably sell them.
Aha, yes, okay. All right, very good. Now, Zane, you have your homework assignment, and that is to look up the comic strip Tumbleweeds. And Tumbleweed is a main cowboy character with a swayback U.S. Army horse. I wish you luck on that.
Thank you.
And I can only hope that one day the Razor Ramones will play I Am Not a Nugget with a Devil's Triad, Diablos musical note, and they make people run screaming from the wrestling arena. I would pay big money to see that, yes.
That would be amazing.
And will you yourself take it upon yourself to mention Sean Crittney that he should use a violin bow on his Stratocaster when he plays
I'm not a
Nugget?
I'm sure he'll listen to this show, but I will also personally mention it to him.
Oh, okay. Well, now, thank you for your word association commentary on Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, geriatric jet setter, and I'm going to give it back to Sign Guy right now. Yes.
Well, thank you, QT. You have a great evening.
Well, yeah, thank you, and I will try, especially if I have a mimosa. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Sign
Thank
Guy.
You, QT. Well,
yes.
Zane, I know you need to get wrapping this up so you can make the game by tip-off, so we'll start wrapping this up. I would like to announce the winner of the contest, QT Vokes.
Hey!
So apparently you need a trolley car,
yes,
and Rex Sharp to get to this game.
Yes.
Okay, now, I will see what I can do. It might be hard to get Rex Sharp here in that short a time.
QT won the contest, so you have to follow through with it.
Okay. I'll do my best.
We all look forward to him singing If I Had a Hammer and Not This Chinese Drywall. Yes.
I kind of do, actually. Now, Zane, if you want to say anything to the listeners today, plug and promote anything you want, your podcast over at Undisputed Wrestling Show, your merchandise, your upcoming appearances, your favorite dry cleaner, whatever it is, the floor is all yours.
Well, make sure to check out my Facebook group, Beards and Zubaz. We're doing some great things there. We've got some big things planned around the holidays concerning Beards and Zubaz. So jump on board of that right now. Undisputed Wrestling Show every Tuesday at 9 Eastern Time on Angry Marks Podcast Network, and then follow it up with an archive show the following day. And, we've got a big show for ICW coming up Saturday, September 4th. It's going to be Hoover T. Guerrero taking on Troy Miller for the ICW Championship, so it should be a great show.
All right. Well, Zane, be careful out there on that trolley car. They can be a little bit sketchy. And
I'll also try to slip Tamika Catchings your business card so you can have her on the show in the future.
That would be delightful, actually.
I know. So, all right. Well, thanks, guys, and I hope that Zane Month was
successful. That is in the upcoming months, definitely. And thanks so much for taking time to get in here. Go Storm, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Have a great evening.
Yes, very good.
Now, QT, do you have $20 on today's game between the Dream and the Fever?
I've got $10 on the Fever, yes.
Wow. That's quite a bit. Are you going to duck out and try to avoid if the Dream were to win this game tonight?
Oh, by all means, yes. I have that project on the back burner. Yes. I'm more concerned if Sangai has recovered from his beard pulling that he suffered at La Pramonita's.
It actually happened the next night as well. Tommy Celsius and, again, Bruiser Joe tugging on that. They were just doing all kinds of tugging. It hurt. It really hurt.
I'm just blown away that Von Hess and Dean DeDrifter got that victory over Magnifico of Alaska and Brett Ringon. Yes.
Hard-fought victory at that.
Very hard-fought, yes. And followed up by Tyson versus a man that I'm starting to see eye-to-eye with, Paul Servius. Talk about two great matches in a row. Yes.
Now, Servius has done some hurtful things to you in the past.
Yes.
Are you a little bit fearful of Servius?
Well, you know, there's always among us elite troops that are Ranger qualified, there's this, a way of adopting the Chinese Tuzitsu art of war, where you lower your enemies into, let's say, a false sense of security and friendship, and then you can get revenge on them when they least expect it in the future. Yes.
So what you're saying is you have revenge on the mind when it comes to Paul Servius.
Oh, I cannot confirm or deny that, and I will dodge that question just like Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton have famously done in the past. Yes, a couple weeks. Dodge that question.
They've dodged questions about Paul Servius?
Yes, they have, especially Hillary. Hillary will not mention on Paul Servius, especially toward a kinder, gentler nation, and how would you say, what's that one thing that they health care benefits, TRICARE, no. Some, yeah. Next question. I'm trying to think of that, health care benefits. People receiving their 65. Who do people receive when they're 65 in health care?
Well, hopefully they get Medicare.
Ah, there you go, yes. Hillary has been ducking Medicare questions as they relate to Paul Servius, who once attacked me from behind. Yes, yes, it's true. At SCW.
There's been a lot of cheap sneak attacks at SCW over the years. I know Gregor Petrov once attacked an unsuspecting Bob Hardy and won the Sign of the Times 24/7 International YouTube Heritage Heavyweight title.
I see. Well, yeah, I could see that. Yes. Oh,
well, yes,
you
could, because it's on YouTube.
I'm just glad that I delivered a chocolate fruit pie to Buddy Highway at La Pablonita's. That doesn't happen too often.
Is that because he's diabetic and you could have sent him into a coma?
Well, I think Buddy Highway has lost quite a bit of weight, and Buddy Highway is a pretty tough person, street tough, and he's developed kind of like an immunity to fruit pies. Yes. What once in a great while won't hurt the great man from, and newest member, might I add, of Sigma Alpha Alpha. Yes, Buddy Highway.
Well, hopefully it won't hurt him, because I'd hate to have to go see him in the hospital and say, what happened to you? And he's like, I ate too many of the fruit pies that QT gave me. And I'll say, but you're diabetic. And he said he promised it wouldn't hurt me because I'm street tough.
Yes, that's true.
And think what Mini Beast would do to you if that were to happen.
Yeah, Mini Beast, he has a potential to grow up to be a pretty big kid, I think. Yes.
I bet he could double leg you and put you in a cross arm breaker right now, and it would probably dislocate your elbow.
Well, you know, some guy, everyone has a certain amount of arthritis that sets in. How would you say once they get past the golden age of 40, which I'm slightly, yes, arthritis.
So you're blaming a dislocated elbow on arthritis?
Yes, and if I have to tap out to Mini Beast, yes.
All right.
Yes. And Sangay, I also delivered an apple fruit pie to Calvin James. What did you think of young Calvin James at La Problemita's, his debut?
He did very well. It was not the first time I have been in the ring with Calvin James. I was up in Alaska and did one of his matches up there. He is also the Sign of the Times 24/7 International YouTube Heritage Heavyweight title holder. Did very well up here.
Yes. I liked how he talked into the ring to his opponents, and he would look out into the crowd. No one was really supporting him except myself. Yes.
And don't forget Brody Adams. Big Brody Adams also up here.
Yes. I agreed with pretty much everything they uttered in the ring. Yes. Well, Sangay, I'd like to read another passage of this magazine that is quickly making a very influential impact on me, if I can. Do we have enough time?
I believe so.
Oh, okay. Let me see. Who's the one person on this planet you'd get rid of if there was no consequences? And Roddy said, I was in L.A. finishing my book, and there was this one guy working as a runner for me. On January 31st, 2002, I noticed some money missing, so I let him go. He says, no, wait, I can explain. Let's go out and get something to eat. Bottom line, he was angry. He's going 65 miles an hour in this old Jetta. His eyes get big, and he says, I can get rowdy too. He tried to kill me. Just turn the car into a wall. I fell out, then two Suburbans ran over my A blank blank. So along come the cops, but I get in a cab, which takes me home. I must have passed out in the bathtub. My family called the paramedics. When they get to the house, my blood pressure was 60 over 30. I had broken my right ankle and four ribs. One rib went 4 inches deep into my liver and spleen, plus I broke my back in two places. I was bleeding badly internally, and one doctor told me he wanted to cut me open. But another doctor, who was a kickboxer, said, don't do it. He's a fighter. Let him fight. 9 days later, I just stopped bleeding. God takes care of fools and babies. They put this guy in jail. Then he had the gall to get a hold of me because he needed $10,000 for a lawyer. He's lucky I'm a Christian, or I'd kill him with my bare hands.
Wow.
Yes. I hope Troy Miller listens to that story. It's not often that some of our heroes get run over by a car, break their back in two places, suffer four broken ribs that go into his liver and spleen, go home and lay down into a bathtub. That's what I'm getting at, Troy Miller. Yes.
Although Mad Dog Vachon was hit by a car and he lost his leg.
Ah, gee whiz. Whew. Well, yeah, I myself have had a very horrible blister on my heel. Yes.
From being hit by a car.
Well, no, I just, you know, walking around in Birkenstock sandals. But I did go to a doctor. Yeah.
All right. Now, QT, when you get to this half-off hot dog challenge with Yen Holden Paisley, are you going to dip his hot dog in liquid nitrogen in order to ensure victory?
Well, I will teach upon the young Zane Paisley the benefits of dipping a hot dog into liquid nitrogen so he can use it as a foreign object if he becomes a wrestler. But I got to tell you, young son of Zane, if you win, I will be a gentleman, shake your hand, and raise your arm in triumph. There will be no trash talking if I win myself. Yes.
So you're saying you're going to drive out there in a Triumph Spitfire?
Ooh, that'd be kind of nice, yes.
It really would.
Yes. All right, well, Sign, can you quickly tell us who we are going to have on Turnbuckle Turmoil this Sunday?
Well, I can. This Sunday we're going to have Kevin Lawler, second generation in the business. He was known as Kevin Christensen in the USWA when he refereed there, now promoting Wildfire Wrestling in Tennessee. Should be an outstanding guest on Sunday afternoon.
I think fans can also look forward to a 9 7/8 Northwest Wrestler Rankings with some of your input, Sign Guy, on what you suffered at La Problemita's and Blue Collar Wrestling this past Sunday.
Very nice. Will you be posting that on Sean Critney's Facebook?
Ah, yes, Sean. I would look forward to that, yes. Almost
I
as
think
much as enlisting in the Navy, yes.
I didn't know he ever enlisted in the Navy.
Well, he kind of mentioned that he would like to and sail on one of those new littoral coastal ships, yes.
All right. Well, best of luck to Sean Critney as he embarks into a naval career.
Yes, yes, we can all look forward to that.
Indeed we can. Well, fans, we will be back Sunday afternoon. Kevin Lawler is scheduled to join us, so join us Sunday afternoon.
Yes.
Talking in